Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of John. Our theme for Wednesday in the Word during the month of March has been faith. And I trust that your faith is being encouraged through our Bible studies. And tonight we're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 20, as we learn how to move from doubt to faith. From doubt to faith. Or perhaps how to move from fear to faith. And I hope that tonight your faith will be strengthened. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God, John chapter 20. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 24. And I hope to have a brief time of prayer together after the service tonight, and don't have as lengthy of a Bible study, but a very important truth, and we want to be sure to hear it. And so let's read in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29 for our text. Then we'll have some high school young men sing, and then we'll have our Bible study. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus — how many of you are glad you're not called Didymus? I always think about that, what his mother would say, "Diddy, come on now, Diddy, let's go." And what his nickname might have been. But anyways, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus answered unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Shall we pray? Father, we ask tonight that you would increase our faith. Help us to have believing hearts tonight. And Lord, we especially pray that our faith would remain strong in you, in your word. And Lord, that we would leave this place during this week, preparing our hearts for Resurrection Sunday, that we would leave this place with a stronger hope because of the resurrection. And we look forward to studying this truth tonight, and we pray your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. John chapter 20, the Bible records for us, and in many other places, the record of the resurrected Christ. And during these days, we begin with Palm Sunday, as it is sometimes called, and we remember the triumphal entry. We think of the crucifixion this week. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we come to the tremendous celebration of the resurrected Christ. And as we come to these events and as we meditate on the truth of this week, we're so thankful that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, the Bible says. In fact, more than 1,500 eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Christ. What a tremendous, tremendous miracle we celebrate this Sunday. And I often try to put into my mind an understanding of resurrection morning and the emotion of it. Perhaps the most emotional day of the first century besides the crucifixion itself, when the disciples were filled at one time with despair and despondency
And then as the news begins to come out that he is not here, he is alive. And as it goes from one group to another, and now the early church begins to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great time, a confusing time, what an exciting time it was for those early believers. The women who first heard the message went to the apostles, and now on this first evening of the resurrection, we see the Lord Jesus coming to these, his disciples. He finds here in this particular passage 10 of the disciples. Judas is now dead, and Thomas is missing. And the Bible tells us that Jesus comes to these disciples, and he shows himself in the early portion of this passage to these 10 disciples as he was the resurrected Savior. When he comes to the matter of appearing to Thomas, we see a very familiar response. And we understand from the scriptures, as we begin reading again in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. And so the Bible tells us that when the disciples relayed the message to Thomas, his response was very baptistic. His response was very unfaithful and unbelieving. And I want you to notice, if you will, as we learn tonight how to move from doubt to faith, a man that sometimes we're hard on when we study the Bible, Thomas, the doubter, doubting Thomas. But in reality, I really believe Thomas could be a mirror reflection of many of us at different times in our lives. There are times in our lives when all of us probably doubt and have fear and do not act like the triumphant, marching forward Christians that we would like to be all of the time. How many of you would admit, you don't have to say what, but from time to time you've had seasons in your life of either doubt or fear or concern? Anybody want to jump in with me tonight? And so I believe that the Word of God reveals to us not all of the perfect prophets and apostles, but God in His Word reveals to us even their struggles, even their growth, so that we can learn how to follow the Lord more effectively. And so let's see this very brief Bible study tonight, how to move from doubt to faith. Notice, first of all, the resistance of Thomas. The resistance of Thomas to the news that had come to him. His fellow disciples come to him in verses 24 and 25, and they say in verse 25, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Notice in the first place, he declined the message. He declined the message. He had a disposition that was given over, no doubt, to suspicion, to wonder, to worry. And now, with the crucifixion past, he had resolved in his mind that this was a matter of fact, a matter of history. And when his fellow disciples come to him with this news, interestingly, in verse number 25, he very clearly says these words, "I will not believe. I will not believe." What a tragic statement for a Christian to make. I will not believe. But his message was declined. We read in John chapter 11 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." I mean, Thomas was of this mindset that this is just too good to be true. It's not going to go on forever. And one day he's going to die, and we're going to die, and it's going to be all over, and that's it. And we get a little glimpse into his mindset there in John 11, 16. He had a gloomy view, a gloomy disposition of this matter. And it was also at the Last Supper where the Lord had been giving an understanding, trying to help them understand the fact that he would be denied, crucified, he would raise again. It was there that Thomas once again seemed unsure about what Jesus was trying to say. And you'll recall in John 14 the words that Thomas spoke when he said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" He was one that was slow to understand, slow to put his faith in something. No doubt saved, no doubt he loved the Lord, but just declined to hear the message from the disciples. Now, I want you to just stop and think about something that that we observe in the context of the Scripture. And I want you to just think about it for a moment with me as a side thought. But when we read this particular text, the Bible tells us that Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He was not with them when Jesus came. And I believe there may be something for all of us to learn here tonight with that little statement. Because when you take a doubting Christian, you take a Christian who struggles anyways with wondering a lot about what's coming up next, and remove him from the fellowship of other Christians, and let him go out on his own alone, he's going to move from the point of doubting to the point of unbelief. And that's exactly what the Bible says in verse 25. I will not believe. Now, some of you that said, sometimes I have fears or doubts, my hand raises as well. We're all human. We have emotions. And yet, when we come together around the Word of God, we're strengthened. We're encouraged. I can think of so many times when I heard a sermon and God just breathed into my heart what I needed. And I came forward and I said, Lord, I'm going to claim that verse right there. I'm going to claim that message right there. That really helped me. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Or maybe it wasn't a message. Maybe it was just one of the guys in the church coming up and saying, Pastor, here's a verse that I read. Or Pastor, I just prayed for you this morning. Or just something of the body life of this place. Or maybe it's just coming to church and seeing someone who you know has been going through it and they're being faithful. And suddenly, because of God's design for the Christian life, which includes His Word and it includes fellowship and being together, suddenly, because of following God's plan, your heart is lifted up, your hope is encouraged, and your faith is stronger because you were basically where you were supposed to be, opening the Word of God, doing what you were supposed to do. But you take that same person who has maybe a predisposition to doubt or worry, or maybe they're going through some things, and you take them and put them in Thomas's place where Jesus showed up, but Thomas wasn't there, right? So now the visitation committee, now the Sunday school care group leader has to go out to Thomas and they have to say, Thomas, you won't believe what happened at church last week. 26 people got saved and 17 people got baptized and someone got right with God and we supported some new missionaries. And I'm telling you what, God's hand was all over the place and it's a difficult day, but it's exciting to serve the Lord. And you take that person who has kind of removed himself out, if you will, and just maybe he's in a blue mood or funky mood or whatever, and you go to that person and say, man, it's been awesome what God did. And if you're not careful, that person will say something like this, I don't believe it. Kind of the Eeyore mentality, you know. It can't be so, you know. And here we see a man, just as a side note, who declined the message. And it's in the text that he was absent from that particular meeting. And that's why Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is so relevant for us. And I think it's in your notes. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so Thomas declined the message. He was discouraged. He was separate from the others. And he didn't get to see the Lord when he came to the 10. And so when they gave him the news, he declined the message. But notice, secondly, he determined to have unbelief. Notice his determined unbelief. And what a sad statement, verse 25. I will not believe. I mean, this news that he had received was the greatest news in the history of the world. Amen? I mean, the greatest news you could ever hear. Jesus is alive, and we saw him here. And yet, this man, Thomas, said, I just will not believe it. He didn't say, you know, I have a hard time with that, or I'm not sure. But I mean, the scriptures record that he said, I will not believe. And we see here a man who is resisting the greatest news of all. And I'll just say this tonight. He was a saved man. He was a man who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe all of us need to make sure that our minds are renewed through the scriptures, that we're staying close in fellowship with God. Because if someone who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years could 3 days later come to the place of saying, I don't believe, then how much more so could any of us in a cold and backslidden heart, get to the place of saying, you know, I don't even know if that was ever for me in the first place. And I have to tell you, I've had a few people say words like that to me. And boy, is that tragic when someone, through discouragement, through circumstances, through a lack of preaching and fellowship, gets to the place where they just kind of determine that this is not for them. The resistance of Thomas is well known. But notice, secondly, if you will with me tonight, the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus. And we pick it up in verse number 26, and it says, "And after 8 days again." By the way, don't you like that word again? How many of you thank God that He's the God of a second chance? Don't you love that verse? I want to preach it every Resurrection Sunday morning, and I haven't fit it into the Sunday message this Sunday, but it might get back in there. But I love it when the Lord said, "Go and tell the disciples," and who? Peter. Go get Peter too. And I thank God that He's the God of a second chance. And it says in verse 26, "And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas was with them." Thomas back in church, amen? "Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" And here we see Jesus Christ coming in, and the doors were shut, and the Scriptures teach us that He's with His resurrected body. A ridiculous article in Newsweek this past week, someone faxed to me, and someone trying to argue and disprove the resurrection, and how could someone who's been mutilated or cremated be resurrected, and so forth. My friend, we serve a miracle-working God. There's such a thing as a resurrected body, and it is not impossible for God to take the soul of a redeemed person and give that person a new body. It's not like He has to work over something that's old. It's a new resurrected body. And Jesus Christ comes right into that room with His resurrected body. And notice, if you would, first of all, Jesus' invitation. He says in verse 27, "Then saith He to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side.'" Now, what a tremendous, tremendous invitation. And I just simply say, Jesus did not have to say that to Thomas. Jesus, as God, could have said, "You know, Thomas, I hate to tell you this, but you just don't have enough faith. And I don't have to reveal and prove anything to you." And how many of you are glad that God doesn't take that attitude with us? And if you were honest, God has revealed Himself to you in many ways throughout your life. He's revealed Himself through His Word, through nature, through various circumstances. God has revealed Himself. And in this instance, He chose to allow Thomas to physically touch His body. He invited him to come and to see that He was the resurrected Christ. But notice, secondly, Jesus' exhortation. He's going to take this as a teaching opportunity for Thomas. And He says in verse 27 at the last portion there, two very important phrases. And I want you to see them. He says, first of all, He says, "And be not faithless, but believing." Would you say those phrases with me, please? "And be not faithless, but..." One more time. "And be not..." "But..." Now, every one of us have the potential to become faithless. Some of you are growing in your faith. Some of you are retrieving with faithlessness. And no one in this room is in the middle. We're either growing in our trust for God, or we're shrinking in our faith tonight. And Jesus exhorts him with these two thoughts. First of all, be not faithless. And tonight, the devil wants us to be faithless. And he wants us to be filled with wonder and be filled with doubt. And Jesus says to us, be not faithless. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. What? "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him." He says, I want you to diligently seek me. I want you to believe that I am who I say I am. And then he says there in that same verse, be not faithless, notice this, but believing. But believing. I don't know about you, but I thank God for believing people. I mean, just people who believe God. And you've heard the phrase that you'll never find a monument built to a critic. And that's true. And anyone can criticize, and anyone can say it can't be done. Anyone can say it's never going to happen. But it sure is a blessing to get around people who believe God. It's a blessing to believe that God is able. And Jesus Himself said to this disciple Thomas, He said, "Be not faithless, but believing." Psalm 119 in verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." And God wants us to seek Him with a heart of faith and belief in Him. It may be tonight that you have a wayward child. It may be that God would say to you through this passage tonight, be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. It may be that you're asking God for something financially tonight. And I believe it's within our text to say, be not faithless about this. There is a God in heaven. There is a resurrected Savior. It may be someone you're asking God to save. Be not faithless. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking tonight about the reliability of the presence and the power of Jesus in our lives. I believe it was George Mueller who said, God delights to increase the faith of His children. I say, and say it deliberately, trials and difficulties and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of His hands as evidences of His love and care for us in developing more and more that faith which He is seeking to strengthen in us. And someone might say, but Pastor, how can God take something that's almost debilitating in our lives? Something that is so difficult. How difficult must it have been for the disciples to think Jesus is gone? That's it. The most difficult day of their life, and yet God was using even that to strengthen them and to prepare them. May we never forget that these 11 disciples were used of God to preach throughout the known world. They turned that world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a part of this testing and building of their faith was this particular moment in their life. And so He says, be not faithless, but believing. And so we see the resistance of Thomas. And Thomas had come to that place of basically shrugging off the other disciples. Hey, I don't believe it. Just get out of my face, if you will. I don't believe it. But thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that little phrase. Jesus came again. He is long-suffering. He comes to people that are lacking in faith, that are pessimistic, that are discouraged, and He'll come again. And it might be through a child. It might be through a verse. It might be through a message, but He comes again. Notice, though, finally tonight, the reward of faith. The reward of faith. Now, this is really a blessing to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I want you to see this beginning in verse 28, and let's read it together, all right? Everybody with me tonight? Here it is, John 20, 28, ready to begin. And Thomas answered and said unto him, all right, one more time. And Thomas answered and said unto him, now look at the declaration of Thomas, all right? Thomas was a slow learner, maybe. Thomas was slow to faith. Thomas struggled in immediately believing the testimony of the other disciples. But let's give him credit for this much tonight. When he got it right, okay? When he got it finally, he got it right. And he said, my Lord and my God. Now, a very important theological phrase here we want to just touch on for a moment. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He didn't say the enlightened one, or he didn't say what a wonderful teacher, or he said, this is the Christ. This is my Lord. And notice the phrase there in verse 28, my God. And it's a capital G for a reason, because Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And you see, the resurrection proves that. And how we thank the Lord for it. And in this day of pluralism and the rising of many faiths and the Europeanization of America, we're seeing that many are trying to downplay the Lord Jesus Christ in our society. But we come to this weekend recognizing with Thomas, whether you're a doubter or the strongest faith-filled man in this room, all of us come into this weekend saying, my Lord and my God. And it means something to us because of who Jesus was. Now let's see how the Apostle Paul explains it in the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in 1 Timothy 3:16, one of the great verses of the New Testament along this subject. Notice, please, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. All right? And what is that mystery, someone might ask? Notice the answer. God was manifest in the flesh, all right? That's who hung on the cross, right? God was manifest in the flesh. God took the form of man. Then notice it says, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. And so, the declaration of Thomas, my Lord and my God. And how we worship Him tonight as that, our Lord and our God. Some of you perhaps heard the news story several days ago about the college in Texas, Trinity College. Trinity College was founded in 1869 by Presbyterian people, more than likely born-again, God-fearing people, founded this college for the purpose of training people, as I understand it, in the doctrines of the Bible as well as in liberal arts and so forth. And Trinity College has a long history of doing that. But this year, there's a student who has taken issue with something at Trinity College. The student's name is Sidra Kirshi. She is the president of the Trinity Diversity Connection. All right? And here come those words now, diversity and tolerance, right? The key words of our day. And she and her student body are getting momentum together now. And she and her diversity connection are requesting that the board will hear, the trustees are going to hear it next month, their request, listen carefully, to remove from the diploma that she's about to receive the phrase that says, in the year of our Lord. And the student, Sidra, said, she said, it is directly referencing Jesus Christ, and not everyone believes in Jesus Christ. Now, a few questions come to my mind immediately. Number one, why would a Muslim student go to a college named Trinity, founded by Presbyterians, and then complain about the word Lord on the diploma? And number two, the issue with the pluralists today and the issue with many in leadership today is not tolerance. It is anti-Christ. They do not want mere tolerance. Listen, if they wanted cultural diversity, they would leave the name Lord on the diploma. More diversity. All right? I don't know of any Christians tonight joining the Wiccans or the atheists and demanding that they remove the name Wiccan or remove the name atheist from their documents. But we have the other side now in every area, even in a place where God-fearing people gave their tithing money and their offerings to start a college called Trinity to propagate their faith. Now that they're dead and gone, they want to have this heard by the trustees. By the way, unfortunately, the trustees are going to hear it. See? And when liberalism creeps into these mainline denominations, there's no backbone to stand up. Somebody ought to stand up and say, we're not going to change that. And next question. And that's the end of that. You see, you say, why you get so feisty about it? And someone might say, you ought not to be involved in politics. I'm not involved in politics here. I'm involved in lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus, and others are involved in taking it down. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And listen, we've got to stand up for the name of the Lord in a society that wants to take it off of every document, even if it has been on that document, since 1869. You see, I don't have time to run down to Texas, but how many of you know if I could, I would. Amen. Like to be there at that meeting. I pray that maybe some God-fearing people in that state will show up at that meeting. What a tragedy. My Lord and my God. Oh, how we thank God for that declaration. May we lift up His name. And may we declare that name through our ministry and encourage others to do the same. Well, that's the declaration of Thomas. But now notice the promise that's given to the believers here by Jesus Christ. And notice verse 29. Now Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Hey, that's us. Right? He goes, Thomas, good job. You saw the scars, you touched me, and you believe. Way to go, Thomas. But there's a special blessing. There's a special joy for those who haven't seen me, and yet they believe. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Thank God tonight that He's the God of a second chance. The God who comes again to guys who've been skipping church. Come on, help me. The God who comes again to guys who've been discouraged and who have even said, I don't believe it anymore. But God kept striving and Jesus came again and again. The Bible says, and I want you to turn there as we close, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible speaks of this matter of our belief and of moving from doubt to faith as Thomas did. And as Peter wrote of it, he said in 1 Peter 1:8 these words concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet, what's the next word say? Believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now Peter had seen him, had he not? But he was writing to people who hadn't. And he said, you know what? You're believing on someone that you have not seen, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I walked into Brother Sisk's office this afternoon and fellowship for a minute or two, and I said, I'm going to preach on Thomas tonight. He said, you know his name, Didymus? And I said, well, I know the name. I know it's his Greek name. And Brother Sis said, I think I know what that means. And he said, I believe it means twin. And so I said, I'm going to check that. I went to the Strong's Concordance, Brother Sis. Not that I was doubting you on that. I was full of faith and believing. But I went to the Concordance. And sure enough, the word Didymus, Thomas's Greek name, the word means twin. And I wonder tonight, as we think about that, I hope that there are no twins of Thomas in this room tonight. And if you're Thomas's twin tonight, let me encourage you to lay aside your unbelief and to come tonight and say, Lord, I've got some areas in my life where I just need to increase in faith. I need you to help me to believe and to trust in you as we approach this resurrection weekend. Strengthen and increase my faith. Though I have not seen, yet now I believe, and I trust in your word.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.